I wanna be a billionaire so freaking bad. Buy all of the things I never had. I wanna be on the cover of Forbes magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen. Oh, every time I close my eyes, I see my name in shining lights. Yeah, a different city every night. Oh, I swear the world better prepare for when I'm a billionaire.
Yeah, I will have a show like Oprah. I will be the host of Everyday Christmas. Give Artie a wish list. I'll probably pull an Angelina and Brad Pitt and adopt a bunch of babies that ain't never had it. Give away a few Mercedes like, hey lady, have this. And last but not least, grant somebody.
When I listen to that song, all I hear like where there was probably a cuss word, but it was edited out for glee. I'm like, oh, I don't think he said it in the original version.
Yeah,
welcome to
not.
The Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Jen. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jen.
We're not here with Ed. Ed was unable to join us this night. He is currently gallivanting around Gloucester. So hello, Ed.
He's in a better place.
You can follow Ed on Twitter over at Edward Diogiano, me, Giordano. Whoa. I'm at Josh Pronounce. She's at Jenny B. Creative. You can also find our website, which is at gleefulpodcast.com, and email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. Yes, Ed has been tweeting pictures of his adventures through Gloucester today.
And Boston.
Those adventures included clam
Union,
chowder.
Union Oyster House.
Is that how it's when you walk in, they're like, hello, welcome to Union Oyster House.
Oyster. Yes. He had the best New England clam chowder he's ever had.
But I would say the best is at Captain Paca's.
Captain Paca's.
Captain Paca's?
Captain Paca's.
I'll get it right someday. So welcome to the Gleeful Podcast. We don't have a ton of stuff to discuss tonight, and we do not have Ed, so it might be a bit of a short show, just to warn you. But we want to thank everybody who's joining us. We've got, I can't find the number. We've got currently 30 people joining us in the chat room.
Hey, guys.
So that is super cool. Welcome to everybody. Brandon, 15824, you're new. That singer chick is new. So welcome to the new folks. Matthew Just is new. Cool. So, yes. And then, of course, the classics are also in the house.
Nice.
Gleeful fans. Everybody go gleefulfans.tumblr.com,
oh,
I think it's
God.
Called.
Yes.
Something like that. There's a Twitter, or there's a link in our Twitter.
Yes,
but it's hilarious.
Oh,
so
it's so funny because
we don't remember saying
this. I know
things.
She keeps coming up with these quotes, and I was like, oh my goodness, do we really just say this stuff and not process it? I think we do.
Von Gator is also new, so welcome to them. And yes, yeah, it is funny on the fan Tumblr. They've been mentioning things that we say, giving us quotes. And you're just like, I don't remember that at all.
I was kind of funny once.
I was funny that day. What happened there? That's different. Listener, aww. Allie is also new. Moma Moose is new. And that's all the shout-outs we're giving for the top of the show. But yes, so big news in the Gleeverse that we will discuss this week. Our main topic, we're going to take a look at Sam.
Sam I am.
Look back at Sam. So, you know, a lot of news surrounding Cordova Street and the character of Sam Evans, and we'll take a bit of a look at that and some of the history there. No new episode of Glee Project this week,
right.
So we will not have Glee Project to discuss. And Corey Monteith made a video for the Straight But Not Narrow program, which we will go ahead and check out as well. We also have some voicemails, some emails.
Wow.
Some exciting stuff. But you said you did get caught up on the Glee Project this week?
I did. I watched last week's episode today, and I know you and Ed discussed the program last week,
mm-hmm.
but I actually never listened to the podcast. So
Really? Well, you're like, you're usually
I've
just
experienced
here,
it once.
So.
So what was the general consensus? How did people feel about, I can't even say it's a spoiler anymore, but about,
we're not really discussing the show yet.
Oh.
It seems like we're more discussing, or we're not really discussing, like, what happens in the show. It seems like we're more discussing the concept of the show, like, its existence
still,
at all.
Still trying to wrap your head around it? Okay,
yeah.
Was anybody So regarding the elimination, nobody cared either way?
Well, last week's elimination was Emily. My opinion on the show, or my opinion was just that it seems they're all so evenly matched, mm-hmm. and it's hard to compare anyone to anyone else.
Right.
You kind of just have your favorites because of who you as a human being, you know, the personality types that you identify with and gravitate toward. And we don't really know what is at stake here.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a challenge. I can't really tell, you know, like, what are we cheering for? And I'm not invested, so I don't really... Yeah, it's hard for me to really give a crap what happens.
Okay.
That was kind of my redundant. How did you feel about Emily's going home?
I guess I was a little bit surprised. I mean, if it were just based upon, you know, if they are so evenly matched and at this point it's based on week by week performance, then I am kind of surprised that Cameron didn't go. And I'm surprised that they gave him a second go at it. It's like they just really wanted him so bad that they were willing to do that. Which I think is nice because he is one of my favorite ones, but I'm just kind of surprised that they would do that. And it's so interesting that throughout the entire episode, they're focusing on, you know, the singing, the dancing, the emoting and all this stuff. And then when it comes down to it, Ryan Murphy's like, I can write for this person or I can't write for this
exactly.
person. And it's always going to be bad. I'm like, oh, okay.
Well, it seems, yeah, kind of like
I'm sure that some of that ties into it, too. I mean, I think, like, the personality will tie into that. But
kind of what I said last week is, you know, the writers can pretty much write for whoever they want. So it seems like this entire show could just be saved or could be shortened by 12 weeks if Ryan Murphy just looks at the 12 and says, that's the plot I want to write. Give me that one.
Right.
And it's just kind of a really long, drawn out process by which he makes that decision where, you know, because, I mean, he could write a 6-episode arc for any single person in that room. That's what a writer does. You give me a character and I give them interesting things to do. And so it's a little, it's just odd. You know, I can't think of another show that has this kind of a conceit.
Yeah.
It's kind of odd.
And it's in a way, it's kind of, it's a reality competition, but it seems like more of a fluff reality. I don't know why. Because I don't watch a lot of other ones. I mean, other than American Idol. But I kind of enjoy it because it's just not that intense and, you know, I mean, yes, there are some strong emotions, but I enjoy watching their homework process or the, you know, their presentation. And then I enjoy watching the process of them recording the songs and then shooting the video. So, like, right now, that's still very interesting to me.
I do love that there's a video to watch.
Yeah.
Like, it's really cool that there's an artifact that comes out of it.
There's some, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the Glee Project. It will continue. We are back next week. The theme is versatility.
Okay.
And the video can already be watched on YouTube.
Ah.
But yes. So everyone in the chat room wants to talk about Brittany and Heather Morris and Naya Rivera kissing at the last concert.
Oh, I didn't hear about this.
Oh, you didn't hear about this?
No,
I don't really know what to say about it other than that it happened. And it blew up all over the internet. It was like trending on Twitter. There was lots of discussion. But I don't know. I mean, I didn't read anything other than like it happened, you know?
Okay. So you don't know if it happened like during a performance with the two of them or what the context was?
All I read is that it happened and that it blew up on Twitter.
Okay.
So someone will probably send me a link right now that goes, guys, you totally missed the best part. But, so it happened. And the fans got all kinds of excited about it.
That's
the
so fans weird. Love Britannia. I never heard it.
You just missed that?
I totally. Well, I've been kind of busy the last couple of weeks. Work's been crazy, but I just.
And then there's also been a lot of...
I don't know what to say, because I don't even know what it was.
Yeah, it wasn't really, you know. And then there was a lot of Kurt and Blaine. Kissed. I think they've done it a couple times on the tour now.
Oh, okay.
Kurt and Blaine. Chris and Darren also kissed. I think that's happened a couple times.
I think it really was Kurt and Blaine that kissed, though, not Darren and Chris.
in character.
Yeah.
But yeah, so these shows have been, one of the things has been really interesting about this Glee tour is how the shows have been really different. I mean, you're hearing stories about Gwyneth Paltrow showing up occasionally, and just like, it hasn't been just a show that moves from town to town. I mean, last year
it was the exact same show, exact same,
pretty much. You heard a little bit about a variation. I know, like, Matthew Morrison showed up at one of them last year, but for the most part it seemed like it was pretty standard stuff.
Yeah,
this year it really was it really does seem to be changing from, mm-hmm. from show to show. So it's neat, and we will see it when it goes to 3D at our
movie. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm a little envious of people who are going this year, because we went last year, and usually, you know, like when you go the first year, you're like, oh, you know, you're cool. It'll never be this good again. Exactly. And now it's like, no, wait. So it's kind of like the reverse of their seasons.
There you go. Yes. Right. Totally. Well, this went online today, so let's go ahead and take a listen to it.
Rolling. So maybe you like to play football. Maybe you like to sing and dance. Maybe you like both. Maybe you don't like either. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Just be yourself. Just be you. Because that's good enough for me. We're guys. Talking to guys about guys who like guys.
So that is a new campaign. It's called Straight But Not Narrow. And it's been making its rounds around the interwebs. Essentially, it is... Let's see. That was Corey Monteith, who was in the video. He is the latest young straight male, as they're being called, to join the SBNN campaign, working to, quote, positively influence views on LGBT teens,
mm-hmm.
and thus eliminate bullying. It's an interesting program. You can find it all at, I believe it's wearesbnn.com. And so, yeah, there's that.
Okay.
And it's kind of a neat idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting counterpart to the It'll Get Better campaign.
Yeah, it gets better. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's you know, Corey's been all over the place. I guess we never really discussed on the show this interview that Corey did where he said that he was living on the streets, addicted to drugs, and went into rehab before he really became an actor. So,
yeah, dropped out of high school.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy.
It's pretty wild. You know, Corey, I mean, maybe it's because it's a TV show about teenagers, but you forget that the dude's like 29.
Yeah.
He has a bit of a baby face, not quite the baby face he did in the pilot.
No.
But yeah, I mean, it's kind of wild considering that so many of the cast come from performance backgrounds, you know, mm-hmm. have essentially been performers all their lives.
Right.
And Corey seems to have come to this late. He seems to have just kind of come around to being an actor performer in the last couple of years.
Well, yeah, like at least the last, I think at least the last 8 or 10, I think. But yeah, that was pretty shocking to hear. I mean, part of it is that his character is so, you know, straight-laced and so, you know, unsure and, you know, kind of easily manipulated, but, you know, all in all, a straight guy. So it's kind of interesting to hear that. It's really hard to picture him being anything other than that character.
Yeah, it's one of the great things about when a TV show casts people that you've never heard of before, because you're able to totally see this character in that person. It's both a good thing for an audience and a bad thing for an actor, because then they, for the rest of their careers, become identified as this one person.
Oh, absolutely.
But for an audience, if you've got an actor that you've seen 1,000 times before, then, you know, seeing him in a new character, you're like, it's hard to separate, you know?
It was interesting, though, when I read that, there was no dust up about it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm just waiting for all the, you know, parents to be like, oh, my child can't watch this show now because he's a former drug addict and he stole money for drugs and did things for drugs.
It was a pretty, yeah, it was pretty unceremonious. And I kind of gave him credit for he just kind of said it. Mm-hmm. And it didn't seem to be, you know, he wasn't on the cover of People magazine being like, my dark, tortured past, you know, give me your attention. It really just kind of said, like, you know, Corey, you know, this happened, and if it helps people, I'm ready to share it. It wasn't a big thing.
Yeah.
But because it, you know, he didn't make a big deal about it, we totally forgot to mention it. So there's that. I'm fascinated by him. He's in Monte Carlo right now with Selena Gomez, Katie Cassidy, and Leighton Meester. Is that right?
Leighton Meester.
Did I totally just pull that?
You did.
I'm impressed.
You must be following that.
As we all know,
watching all
I'm
the trailers
a huge
online.
Fan of, I'm a huge fan of The Prince and the Pauper updated to modern day Paris and cast with Disney princesses. This is one of my favorite things.
Well, now I know what it's about. Thanks.
So you can all check out Monte Carlo.
Corey on the big screen.
Last weekend. So we got some great voicemails. Here's one. Hang on. I need to turn it up. Roll back. So we got some great voicemails. This is one. There it is.
Hi, guys. This is Lynn calling from Australia. Really enjoying the top five episodes you've been doing. Hope you do more. Maybe, I don't know, best episodes musically, best songs per character, most surprising song choices. I don't know. I'm sure you'll come up with something. I was surprised Ed thought people would hate him for picking the Singing in the Rain umbrella mashup as number one, but maybe I'm biased because I thought it was an abomination that should be killed with fire. I mean, that was just dreadful. I have to disagree about Lea Michele not getting many solos in season two, which you mentioned. I did a quick count, and I think she got about 11 solos, 15 duets, and a bunch of leads in group songs. I got bored of counting at that point. It's a pity about Cordova Street not coming back next season, if that's true. He's not my favourite, but I thought he was good and was hoping Sam and Mercedes would give her a bit of a plot. Hope you guys are having a good 4th of July weekend. Bye.
So that's thank you awesome. Very much to the listener from Australia. It should be burned in a bloody fire. I think we all...
Okay, wait. So because I missed last week, was that Ed's number one worst song?
Yes, that was Ed's number one worst song.
Oh, okay.
Was the umbrella mashup.
Okay.
Yes, and of course, everyone gave me crap because I admitted that mine was a bit of a cop out. My least favorite song being Barbra Streisand, and that entire number just being my least favorite moment of the season. But you know, let's talk a little bit about chords. So you know, this came out in the last couple days. You know, this whole Glee shakeup. First, they say Darren Criss and Harry Shum have been added as regulars, and Cord has not. And the news that kind of exploded all over the internet, I think it was first broken on Deadlight.com, was Darren and Harry are in, and Cord is out. Cord has been cut. And then slowly it kind of came back a little bit. You know, Cord tweeted, "It's been a good year. Too bad it's over. Time for summer and starting fresh." And everybody's like, "He's been cut from the show."
Right.
I don't know. That kind of sounds like...
Yeah, it's a little bit different.
Yeah. So apparently it turns out that it wasn't cut all the way. He was just, you know, not made
He wasn't
a regular.
Advanced to a regular. And yeah, like that article that you sent me, it says right there that... I don't know how true this is. I don't know if this is just the production kind of, you know, covering their butts at this point, but because they're getting a lot of flack, they're saying that it's up to him. They're saying that, you know, okay, he's not a regular, but you know, he can be in it as much as he wants.
Yeah, it's kind of come around to that now. Now they're saying he can come back as much as he can come back if he wants to.
Right.
But you know, he wasn't in every episode this season. He was never really a regular on the show.
No.
And so it's interesting how the news kind of went directly from he hasn't been made a regular to he's been cut from the cast.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, well, maybe he hasn't been cut from the cast.
Right.
And so you never quite know, like, where it is. Did he, was he, you know, they never said he's been cut.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe behind closed doors they were saying, let's just phase him out. And then here comes this groundswell of support.
Firestorm.
And they kind of pull back. Either way, what we do know is that Cord probably, you know, I think he'll probably come back, but he certainly is not going to be a regular. We're not going to see him in every episode. We're probably going to see him in about as many episodes as we saw him in this season.
Well, he has to have a little bit more. I mean, come on. They ended on a very big footnote with season two.
Exactly. I mean,
there has to be something there.
He got more of a plot towards the end than a lot of people did. He had more of a plot this season than Puck. I mean, and we complain a lot that, like, Cord didn't do a lot in season two. Because as a new cast member, it's hard to really put a finger on, like, what Cord's thing was. Or what Sam's thing was this season. But if you draw him into comparison, he had more of a plot than Tina did. He had more of a plot than Mercedes did. He had more of a plot than Puck did.
Yeah.
And so he actually didn't totally get short shrift. I think that people just weren't really happy with the plots he was given. And it was hard to connect to his character.
Well, the thing is, I mean, nothing really came until the end. And in one of the articles I was reading, when this was probably like the day that it was announced that he wasn't brought on as regular. So again, people equated that with being cut. And one of the writers was really upset because they said, listen, you know, Glee doesn't shy away from, you know, very, very topical storylines. And they don't shy away from, you know, kind of jumping on the bandwagon with these hot topics and then getting a little preachy about it. They said, but then here you have, you know, Sam in a very understated, very natural, very relatable performance when he's probably, you know, when he's representing probably a bigger portion of the country when you think about, you know, people, families who are dealing with layoffs and cutbacks and all that sort of stuff and, you know, facing eviction and foreclosures. So they're like, you know, like, here's somebody that probably more people could identify with, but because it's not, you know, this, you know, because it's uncomfortable and sad in a way, it's not as, it's just not one of the topics that they want to really promote. So they're like, you know, you really kind of need somebody like that.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of adds in, I think, to the entire listlessness of the second season. We never really had a clear focus.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can look back and see there were a lot of unique elements to Sam's character. He did provide a foil for Finn for a short time.
Right.
He did, you know, he was Quinn's boyfriend for a short time. And then at the end, we got Sam Sadies and we got the subplot about him being out of work. So it was like all the ingredients were there. And in a lot of ways, he was, you know, he certainly got more attention than Sunshine, you know. So all the ingredients were there. It's just that they didn't quite coalesce around him. And I think he didn't have that immediate fan recognition that Blaine did, you know.
Yeah.
Blaine's deck was stacked. I mean, he was the love interest of the season two's number one character.
Of course. And everybody's rooting for, you know, Kurt to have that. And it's like, it's funny because, yeah, like after a while, Sam just became the, you know, the excuse, or not the excuse, but like the means to certain ends in certain storylines.
Yeah.
It's like you totally skipped over from when he was with Quinn. So
to
he went
Santana.
With, yeah. I mean, he totally was Santana's punching bag for a little while.
Yeah,
there.
Totally.
I mean, come on. He had to put up with Trouty Mouth.
And a couple of people just brought this up in the chat room, a good point that Harry, who has been made a series regular, Harry Shum, who's a character of Mike, even though he's been made a series regular, he had less to do than anyone.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, Mike's character is really just there for one purpose. You know, he's kind of just there to dance.
Yes.
And chord is kind of caught in the middle. Like, the character of Sam isn't simple-minded enough to be a Mike and just kind of be there to be outstanding in musical numbers and to, you know, tell a punchline while standing next to Tina. He's more complicated than that, but they never gave him the time to really shine and become an actual character on the show.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, he had no consistent storyline. It was all just very fractured, and it was just sort of like, okay, we need to do something here. We need to, make Finn insecure, and then, you know, show that boys have body image problems too, and, you know, somebody that can draw Quinn away. And yeah, it was just sort of like,
yeah, he was always just kind of there to serve a purpose for another character.
Exactly.
Yeah. But then even then, it didn't quite develop enough. I really was excited when Sam first showed up. I thought it would be fun to see him be a foil for Finn, like direct competition for Finn.
Right.
Because Finn's never really had any specific male competition that was purely for, you know, in his wheelhouse. Like, he would compete against Jesse, but there's no competition there.
Right.
there's no competition between Finn and Jesse. They just want, they're out for different things.
Yeah, and the same thing with Puck. They were competing against each other, but definitely on different playing fields.
Yeah, and Finn and Puck were competing against, where Finn and Puck were competing for kind of like something
Quinn's
neither
pants.
Of them wanted, you know. Yeah. But I mean, Sam really represents a very direct threat to Finn, and we never really got to see that develop.
We saw it develop in those gold pants.
Well, let's go ahead and we got a message from listener Mike who had an opinion about this. As I turn up the volume. There we go.
Hey, Josh, Jen, and Ed. It's Michael. Run Mike to Michael. Quick comment on Cordova Street being let go. I completely blame the showrunners for not utilizing his character at all. If we had gotten the possibly homeless storyline earlier in the season, and if he had developed whatever relationship he had with Mercedes after not disappearing for what seemed like months, maybe he would have been an appropriate character to carry over into a new season, but really, they just didn't use him well at all. But that was kind of the story of the whole season, just haphazardly using people in random ways and none of it really meshing up. But that was just my quick comment on that. Great show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, Michael. Thanks.
At the end, he says that's kind of the whole season two, random, haphazardly using random people for no reason. I'm thinking, like, that describes Santana's sex life.
But anyway,
there was an article over at Zaptuit, blog.zaptuit.com/from-inside-the-box, and they actually had a list of the top 10 reasons that Sam should stay on the show, that Sam Evans should stay in the club. And I thought we'd go through them just because I agree with every single one on this list. And so I thought it would be fun to just kind of like, let's hear from someone else. This is on Zaptuit.com, and it's by Karina Adley McKenzie, Cadley Mac on Twitter. And she says, top 10 reasons that Sam should stay in the club. Number 10, they made him wear tiny gold shorts.
Yep.
I mean,
that's, yeah.
The least you can do is give the boy a character arc. He wore tiny gold shorts.
That's more cruel than any, you know, school hazing or prank. Yeah, that's brutal.
Let's see, number 9.
But he wore them well.
No one else brings the Beliebers. And she makes a really good point here. He brings that class, that tweeny class of Bieber fans that I don't think anyone else in the show appeals to, but Sam does. Cord has that ability to cross between soccer moms and soccer players and soccer kids.
Nice.
And there's not a lot of other characters on the show that can do that. So I think that, you know, Sam has does serve a purpose in the group. Number 8, she writes, we are in a freaking recession, which is a very good point. I mean, just like you said, they finally get into something that's topical and yet not, you know, that is not sex and teen drinking and, right. you know, not salacious. And then they cut the character.
Yeah, and everybody's been affected by layoffs, corporate layoffs in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Oh, totally. It's something that everyone can agree, mm-hmm. can relate to, as opposed to some of the other things, you know, which spark debate.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't, you know, I can't totally relate to them the way right. I can totally relate to this. Number 7, he breaks the mold. This is interesting. She writes, "No offense, Ryan Murphy, but you've got a whole lot of stereotypes happening on your show, and Sam Evans is not one of them. A hot blonde jock type who is completely devoid of homophobia and unwilling to be governed by the persuasive day-to-day homophobia that plagues high schools across the country. A teenage boy who obsesses over his body and worries that he's not good enough. A cool kid who is a total freaking geek." Or a total freaking geek.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah. right off the bat, Sam's the only geek on the show. That never got played out, but that's such an interesting thing to call out, that there really isn't like a Star Trek geek. There isn't a geek in the club.
What is his thing he does? He likes, is it?
Yeah, well, so he loves Avatar. At one point, he speaks Na'vi.
That's right. I was thinking it was Klingon.
When I asked listeners, which we'll get to in a little while, but when I asked the listeners what their favorite Sam / Cord moments are, mm-hmm. about 90% of people said his impressions, which is true. He's really, he's the only geek in that group.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to see that go. I think that's just something that really could have been fun.
You need to be represented. Sorry.
Exactly. My people need to be represented.
Yes.
I wouldn't look the same in those gold shorts.
The
but
pale.
Still,
the proud.
The pale. Nice. But I really like the way they put that. You know, he's not affected by the things that the other characters are affected by. And yet he has very unique challenges. So to let him go, I want to see more of his challenges. I want to see more of what he has to go through. Number 6, comic relief. Which is true. We had a lack of comic relief in this season.
Yeah.
And Sam always brought the comic relief.
Well, or he was the comic punching bag.
Totally.
Yes.
Number 5, do it for Mercedes.
I know, right?
I think it's
How
time.
How cute was that at
it's
the
end? It's
time
for Mercedes to get a little love on this show.
And I want something to carry over that's legitimate from the year before.
Yeah.
You know? Not just 2 days of Quinn being, you know, sorry she had a baby and then moving on. Like,
exactly.
I want something to carry over with actual consequences and results.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. Number 4, he can sing. There's no doubt that he can sing.
He can sing.
And he does represent a slightly different voice than the rest of the group, which I think is why it's hard for them to find places to put him.
Because he doesn't sing musical theater?
He doesn't sing musical theater. He doesn't sing, you know, giant group numbers. He's kind of got a softer, mm-hmm. poppier voice, and it's a little harder for him to find a place. Number 3, you made fun of his mouth all year. Which I thought was funny.
Yes.
Number 2 on this writer's list of reasons to keep Sam, he's got some longevity. And this is a good point. All the characters are supposed to graduate in season 3, but Sam's a year younger than everybody.
Is he really?
He's one of the characters that can carry over for a year.
He's a year younger? How did I miss this?
And that his character is a year younger.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I believe he's one of the younger cast members in real life.
Yeah, probably.
But that doesn't mean anything.
I mean, I think Kurt is the youngest actor.
Actor, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he just turned 21.
And I just, wow. Okay. I didn't realize he was a sophomore.
And number 1, and this is debatable, the fans really, really love him. And I don't know how much the fans love him. I mean, obviously, there was a Twitter trend, a hashtag, don't cut the cord, which is funny. There was an online petition, which racked up some stuff. But let's be honest, there's an online petition for just about everything.
Yeah.
And, of course, Billionaire is one of the best-selling tracks in the collection. So he has a track that people like. A lot of people like Lucky. Lucky was a big fan favorite this year.
I really liked Lucky.
So he's not gone, but there's definitely some people kind of questioning his value on the show. And it's kind of fun to take a look at a character and be like, when you really look at a character like Sam,
mm-hmm.
you start to realize that you really do like him.
Yeah, he really does have something to offer.
Yeah.
He has a lot to offer.
Yes, it was just pointed out that the petition got over 10,000 signatures.
Okay.
I think I said six. This article says 6,000. They're up to 10,000.
Yeah, I think that article was like
terms,
a day
that's
ago.
Like nothing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I asked the listeners for some of their favorite Sam Cord moments, and here's a couple of those.
Sam Cord.
Hi, Gleeful. My name is Aaron. I'm from New Milford, Connecticut. I was just thinking about the whole Sam thing on Glee, how they said that he's not coming back. Well, they just started a whole arc with him with Mercedes, and it just wouldn't make sense for him not to come back. And I didn't think he was a regular before either. I always thought he was still guest star material, like the whatever. So that's all. I don't understand what the big deal is. I don't see him leaving. So, all right, I love you guys. See you later. Bye.
And this
thank
message.
You.
Yes, thank you. And this message as well.
Hey, Josh and Jen. It's Melanie from Providence. I'm going to have to say my favorite Sam Cord moment is just about none of them. I might be one of the only people who's not really sure that he's going. He's been kind of flat. The character never really developed. And I think they tried to throw us a bone at the end with the whole Sam Sadie's thing. And I'm just not buying it. So I'm sad. Not really sad to see him go. Looking forward to the podcast tonight. And thanks so much. Bye.
So after I just spent a whole bunch of time talking about how I actually do really like Sam, I just played two messages from people that didn't like him so much. But my points to everyone.
I think
deserves
I only won.
Yes.
Well, I mean,
yes.
It's true. It's you either connect with what little you saw or you didn't connect with what little you saw. And, you know, you either saw the potential or it didn't really matter. So, I mean, it's understandable that people are indifferent.
Yeah, they didn't make a case for him.
Mm-hmm.
You're exactly right. They didn't make a case for him. So you either connected to the potential or you didn't.
Well, and if you think about it, it's like, you know, Mike Chang only got a word. I think he had one single word he's uttered in season one.
Yes.
And then he got, what, 5-10 lines in season two. And so he was two whole seasons before he was made to a cast regular. So I'm you know, it's not as if they're unfairly stepping over him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally true. Darren Criss, you know. But seriously, how you can't hold Darren Criss down.
No, and I mean, Darren Criss, like the character of Blaine, was almost, it's almost unfair for a guest star because as soon as Kurt went to Dalton, Kurt needed someone to talk to at Dalton. And you had to include Kurt because he was a fan favorite.
Right.
So as long as Kurt was going to be around, Blaine was going to be there. So Darren Criss totally cheated.
But the thing is, too, I mean, I wonder, though, if the character of Blaine would have been, you know, maybe not as well received if it were portrayed by a different character, an actor.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, like,
yeah, you can't deny that.
He took a great opportunity and, you know, a great secondary character and just made him a star.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it that he, you know, he was pretty, I mean, Darren fell into that role and had a huge following coming into it. And, you know, really.
With whom you'll never
really
mess again.
With whom I will never mess with again. So, anyway. Yes. Genshu 17 says, they had to keep Darren because you don't F with Harry Potter fans. So, you know, I wanted to, I asked the listeners what your favorite Sam Cord moments were. Listener Amanda said her favorite Sam moment was when he played Rocky in the Rocky Horror episode. Listener Marie and a bunch, listener Christine, a whole bunch of people all said the James Earl Jones impressions and the Sean Connery impressions. Those are the big ones.
Those are great.
Yep. Listener Rebecca says her favorite Sam moments are the audition scene with the guys when he said to Puck, I don't know, I've never had balls in my mouth, have you? And then later when
great.
He admitted that he is homeless. And a lot of people did say it was, you know, their favorite moments were the homeless moments, kind of seeing, you know, his vulnerability.
Yeah.
Let's see. Listener Aaron says when he told Emma he was afraid of showing, quote, nuttage in the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And then let's see. We'll go over here to Twitter. I can't pull up the Twitter now because the internet's freaking out. But you can look for, go check out the Gleeful Podcast on Twitter, and you can see some of what people liked about Chord. So, you know, I gave it some thought. I have to say, I think my favorite Chord moment was the Navi, when he spoke Navi, and it was just like, wow, this guy's totally weird.
You're a little dork.
But then I love that scene when he was talking about working out, when he was explaining to Finn working out, because like we see characters, you know, there's always like characters on television that are obsessed with their appearance, but this is a guy who's kind of unhealthily obsessed with like looking good and looking perfect. Yeah. I was thinking, this is kind of new in this setting. He's very unapologetic about it. They're not making a case that he's sick.
Right.
Or obsessed. Yeah. But he, you know, it was just kind of interesting to have a character who was like, I do 1,000 crunches and I track all my calories, and that's what it takes to look like this. Right. You know? Okay. I thought that was pretty cool to make that statement. Jennifer, do you have a favorite Chord moment, Chord Sam moment?
You know, I really like a lot of stuff that's been said already. And I guess it's not a specific moment, but I really liked what we started to see of him when he was starting to show interest in Quinn and just their interactions. And Lucky was, I thought, just a beautiful, sweet performance. So I think that was really what kind of won me over, was the sweet insecurity in him and the earnestness of it all.
He is a very earnest character.
Yeah, I mean, he's not as manipulative as most of the other people. And like even like Finn, I mean, Finn used to be like that person, but then he got screwed over, so now he's been the manipulator. So
yeah,
it's kind of nice to just, it is refreshing and to see just that, you know, sweet sincerity.
I'm forgetting that a couple people also brought up his reactions while Santana was singing Trouty Mouth.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And
then Amy hold up the sign, hell no.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Those
are all great.
Looking back, you know, Chord Overstreet hadn't really done anything before Glee. He got his start on a web series called Private, which I've never seen. He did one episode of iCarly. He was, in an episode of No Ordinary Family. He was in The Hole, which was a 3D movie that was directed by Joe Dante and never actually got released. And we talked a little bit about his father, Paul Overstreet, who wrote She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy and Love Will Build a Bridge. And some other, you know, he wrote a ton of classic country songs over the years and had a whole handful of his own records that
he
released.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
You guys talk about this last week or something?
Oh, no. We've talked about it on when he first, when Chord was first
was
cast.
I
mentioned it on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yes. He's best known for writing Love Will Build a Bridge, Forever and Ever Amen, Some Beach by Blake Shelton.
Okay.
He also co-wrote When You Say Nothing at All, which is one of the best-selling country songs ever written for a whole number of people. So, yeah, I mean, Paul Overstreet, you know, is someone. And so it's fascinating to see, you know, Glee pull these people out of relative obscurity and be like, here you go. Welcome to the party.
Here you go. Do you like them? Do you like them? You can't have them.
Yeah, yes. Now we're bored. We shall cast someone else. Well, a lot of people did. A lot of people said their favorite moments, or a lot of people said their favorite Sam Chord moment was Lucky. And so while my computer...
I'm going to think his name is Sam Chord now.
Sam Chord.
Sam Chord.
So let's go ahead and take a quick listen to Lucky. This is Chord Overstreet and Diana Agron on the Gleeful Podcast.
Blue ocean under the open sky. Oh my, baby, I'm trying.
Boy, I hear you in my dreams. I feel your whisper across the sea. I keep you with me in my heart. You make it easier when life gets hard. Lucky I'm in love with my best friend. Lucky to have been where I have been. Lucky to be coming home again.
also forgot this. Cordova Street's brother is in a band called Hot Chelly Ray. I think that's how you pronounce that, Hot Chell Ray. And he appeared in their video and tweeted, "Everybody go check out my brother's band." And the band went to number 5 on iTunes. And
sweet! Like, you know, it's got the power.
That's the internet. That's the power of the internet.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe we just needed to use his intro for our podcast more.
There we go. We'd explode.
And well, no. I
always forget about
it. I'm saying maybe he would have stayed. Maybe he would have been bumped up to regular. It's all our fault.
Well, that's pretty much it for us. Usually we would thank iTunes reviewers right now, but we that's Ed's job.
And Ed would thank them all enthusiastically.
Enthusiastically.
Yes.
With
love and fervor.
Exactly. Because that's what Ed does.
It is so different without Ed.
Yeah. It's,
hey, Ed. Hope you're enjoying your chowder.
We do. We miss him. We miss him. That's about all we've got. If you would like to weigh in on anything we said tonight, you can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at Gleeful Podcast. I'm at Josh Brunell. She's at Jenny B Creative. He's at Edward Giordano. We should be back with Ed next week. You know, Jennifer, I was thinking that...
go ahead.
Did I?
No. Well, did you see Typo A's tweet?
Which one?
Today? It was something like, last week Jenny B Creative was gone, this week it's Ed, does that mean Josh is gone? And it was like hashtag conspiracy theory.
Yeah. yes. No, if I'm not here, there's no one to post the show. So
oh. Right. Okay. The cat?
The cat.
The cat.
The cat, totally.
You gotta show me how to do this one of these days.
Someday. Yes, I absolutely will. I'm thinking that next week we will do the Great Glee Trivia Challenge.
Dun, dun, dun!
I think it'll be Jen versus Ed.
Ooh. Oh, I'm gonna get my butt whooped.
And,
you know that, right?
No, I think it'll be good.
Okay,
I think we'll have fun. Okay. We'll do a big Glee trivia challenge, and we'll involve the listeners. I'm not sure how,
ooh,
but I think that's what we'll do next week.
It's the just Glee got trivia interesting. Challenge.
Yes, and I don't know what we'll do. I still got to work out the details, but I think that would be pretty fun.
Awesome.
So everyone just tweeted, Ed will win.
I know, right?
It's true. Maybe we'll do it like win Ben Stein's money. So it would just be like compete against Ed. Like you have to beat Ed. That's the challenge. I think that's what we're going to do.
Well, isn't there like a whole trivia show like that? Beat the Geeks or something?
Yeah, there used to be 100 years ago.
I'm thinking 4.
Beat the Geeks? I think we're going to have to take a bets on this one. I would say Beat the Geeks went off the air in 2001.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to bring up my phone really, really quick. Really? I'm so slow.
You're not slow. So that's what we got. For the Gleeful Podcast with Josh and Jen, I'm Josh.
And I'm Jen.
In
Ed's absence.
In Ed's absence, Ed is somewhere in Gloucester, shining down everywhere except when the monsoon strikes. Tay Inouye just said it's 2001 to 2002.
I just brought that up. I'm just going to be like that commercial, like, yeah, right, you're wrong.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. I used to see you smile. If it takes just a little while. I know you don't believe that it's true. I'm never meant any harm to you.
Right now.
I know.
That's crazy. It's so hot.